Y'all gonna have to wake up. I had a rough night's sleep. If I can't keep myself awake, then we got real problems. So I need your help. We're gonna be talking about the goodness of God today. So if that offends you, sorry. Don't tell my Presbyterian friends we're talking about the goodness of God. Oh, that was a mean joke. John chapter 10, verse 10, if you have your Bibles. Before we begin, you know we're doing a sermon series on the seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. And today's statement and then next week's statement, both are related to sheep. And if we don't understand the Bible's references to us in relation to sheep, we're not going to understand either one of these statements that Jesus makes. For whatever reason in the Scriptures, we are, the image of us is that God uses his sheep. And maybe it's because we're all just so cute and cuddly. Maybe it's because we kind of stink. Maybe it's because we're not that bright. Or we bite. I don't know, but God's the one who wrote the Bible, so he gets to pick how he describes us. And so way back in the Old Testament, Numbers 27, Moses was praying to the Lord, and he said, Lord, we need someone that you would appoint a man over the community who will go out before them and come back in before them, and who will bring them out and bring them in so that the Lord's community won't be like sheep without a shepherd. Which we've seen, we saw just the other week in Mark chapter 6 when Jesus came ashore the Sea of Galilee, saw the crowds, and he had compassion on them because he said they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so this picture of us as sheep has carried over from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but next week the I am statement we're looking at is when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So Jesus then is the shepherd of the sheep. We're the sheep. But here's where it gets really interesting and kind of strange. When John the Baptist saw Jesus the first time in John chapter 1, verse 29, as adults, he said of Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God. All right, so now Jesus is one of the sheep. He's also the shepherd of the sheep, and it's thoroughly confusing. Are you confused? Well, it's okay, because it is kind of challenging. The Bible often mixes or blends these metaphors. So we saw a couple weeks ago, Jesus says, I am the bread of life, but he's also the one who gives the bread. He says, I'm the light of the world, but he also is the one who brings the light. Jesus speaks the truth, but he also tells us, I am the truth. And so these metaphors blend from time to time. And so Jesus is one of the sheep. When we talk about Christmas is coming up. You getting excited? Starting a Christmas sermon series next week. Just kidding. So at the incarnation, what we're celebrating is Jesus becoming one of the sheep. Temporarily, but he is ultimately the shepherd, the good shepherd, he tells us next week. And in the book of Revelation, we'll see later, he's the great shepherd. Right? So Jesus is the shepherd. And that's what we're talking about today, his role as a shepherd. And there's one specific role in particular that he wants to mention today that we're going to read about that was very important that he shared with us. So John chapter 10, verse 1, it says, I assure you, this is all in red, so this is Jesus talking. He says to the disciples, I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief or a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought them, all his own out, he goes out ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. And they will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. And so Jesus said again, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will come in and go out, and he will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. So there's a picture that Jesus is painting for us, and it's a picture of a sheepfold or a sheep pen, which was an enclosure, is a good picture of it, out up in the meadows. It was usually made of stone. It was sometimes made of wood, but it was high enough so that the sheep couldn't get out, but it wasn't quite high enough to keep humans out. You could climb it pretty easily, and it had one little entrance at where the sheep could come in and where they could go out. And so after a day of grazing in the meadows, the shepherd would bring his flock into the pen at night and put them safely in this enclosure. And then the shepherd himself would sit at the door and block the way, himself becoming the door or the gate. And Jesus says in this passage, if you see anybody in my sheep pen that didn't come through me, that climbed over the back wall, he's not with us. He's at cross purposes with the shepherd. He's up to no good. Now, sometimes there were communal pens, and so you'd have a big one out in the field, and so different shepherds would bring their flocks to the pen, and they would all share the evening quarters enclosed inside the pen. And then in the next morning, when it was time to leave, the shepherd would call out his sheep, and the sheep that belonged to that shepherd knew his voice and would follow him. They didn't have to work at separating. They knew which way to go. I mean, they weren't that dumb, right? And so they knew who to follow, and they wouldn't follow a stranger. They would run from a stranger. They didn't want anything to do with a stranger. And so this is John chapter 10, first 10 verses. This is the image that Jesus is using. And when he says, I am the door, it's a picture. And it's a picture of you and me, the sheep, safe under the good shepherd's care for the night. And there's danger out there. There are thieves, there are robbers, there are wolves. But none of that's getting through Jesus, because he's literally placed himself as the door, literally placed himself between us and harm. Nothing can get to us except through him. That's the picture. So I'm going to dig into that metaphor, because it's an awesome metaphor about God's love for us. The first thing, though, when we talk about a door, and the Greek word there really is door, Some versions translate it as gate. It means a gate, but the Greek word is thura, door. And so the first thing that we know, of course, about a door is that a door separates us from what's on the other side of it, right? Separated from what's on the other side of the door. So Jesus mentions the sheep immediately being separated in verse 1 from thieves and robbers. So, and implied in there is wolves as well, but he happens to be mentioning specifically the thieves and robbers. So when Jesus brings them in and he shuts the door, which is himself, they are separated from the bad things that are out there. Also, when Jesus brought his sheep into the pen, they're separated from the other sheep out in the field. These are Jesus' sheep. Those are the other sheep. In the previous chapter in John, chapter 9, I've mentioned it several times, and I encourage you to go read that. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. There's a man that was born blind, and Jesus heals him, and it was a great story, and it turns out pretty comical. And in the end, the Pharisees were like Keystone Cops, and they're so frustrated, and they're so angry by 9:34, they kick the man out of the synagogue. And then Jesus comes right up to him and says in verse 39, you can come into my pen. You can come into my fold. You can be one of my sheep. And the man believes in Jesus and follows him and becomes a disciple of the Lord. In our sermon series that we did a while back on the apostles and the disciples, every one of those, the prerequisite for following Jesus was that calling. And Jesus said what? Leave your old way and follow me. Leave that behind and come with me. And so every time, and he's done the exact same thing with us. He's called each one of us, and he says, leave your old way. Leave your old way of doing things and follow me. And that's the way of the Lord. When you follow him, there is separation. He is asking us to, if we're going to belong to his flock, that we have to separate ourselves from the world. Now, we know that's not that easy, is it? It's one thing to sit in church and talk about being separate from the world because we're in church. But when we're called to leave our old lifestyle behind, we're called to, sometimes it means leaving old friends. Sometimes it means leaving relationships. Sometimes there's a lot of things because Jesus brings division. It's not necessarily bad. Three times in the Gospel of John, we read that Jesus brought division among the people. Because you make a decision. When you find out who Jesus is and what he demands of you, you have to make a decision to whether or not you're going to follow him. And it's costly to follow Jesus. That's why he said, if you want to follow me, you've got to pick up your cross to do it. Now, I want to tell you, it's more costly for the shepherd. Because we're going to read next week that the good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. It costs him a lot more than it's costing you and me. But it's going to cost you something to follow him. You cannot belong, you can't be on two sides of the door at the same time. You're either in or you're not. He wants us to come in, but you got to come in by him. So that leads to the second point of a door. It's a decision time. Whether you're going to go through that door or not go through that door is a decision you have to make. In our world is such a place where we promote tolerance at the expense of truth. And so we say, you have your truth, and I have my truth, and they may disagree with one another, but you know what? You believe what you want, I'll believe what I want. And it's really cute, and it all feels good, except you and I just know it doesn't work. Right? If it worked, then we could see it. Philosophers talk about you can tell truth by money, medicine, and measurement, right? So let's say I go to the pharmacist to get aspirin, and he says, listen, I'm going to tell you, arsenic is just as good as aspirin. Take this. Don't take it. Or if I owe you $100, and I hand you 10 $1 bills, and I say a 1 is just as good as a 10, we're going to come to blows, right? If I pay you to build me a 2,000 square foot house and you build me a 200 square foot house, we're going to have problems. The reason is because there is truth, there are standards, there are absolutes, there are measurements in the world that we can agree on, and the scriptures tell us what they are. I want you to look with me at a passage. We'll put it on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, there are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. And they will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and will bring swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their unrestrained ways, and the way of truth will be blasphemed because of them. They will exploit you in their greed and with deceptive words. Their condemnation, pronounced long ago, is not idle, and their destruction does not sleep. So Jesus is warning about these false shepherds that sneak into the sheepfold. Peter's warning the church in Jerusalem about the false prophets, the false shepherds that sneak into the sheepfold. And what's interesting is in that passage that we just read from Peter, it says that they will use deceptive words, and the word there in Greek is plastos, and it means to fabricate or concoct or mold, but it's the same word we get plastic from. They're using plastic words. They're molding these words to mean whatever they want. And they say, well, Jesus isn't the only way. Right? We don't have to really take up your cross. Oh, well, that was a sin. They meant that back then and not now. Are you following me? And there's all of these things to make us feel better about ourselves. When what Jesus is saying is that I'm the door. And if you want in, I want you in. But you got to come through me. And so when Jesus wants us in and he says to us that we have to leave our sin behind, he means it. When he says that there's a certain sin is wrong, that's the end of the debate. When he commands us to be kind to one another, that's it. That's what he means. That's why I love reading these I am statements. It's not about us. Well, I think Jesus is this or that. He says, I am this. And he says, I am the door. I want you to come in, but you come in by me. You don't plasticize me. You don't plasticize my teaching. You don't mold it to fit your thoughts or ideas. If you want to come in, you come in by me. And so Proverbs 23:23 says, buy and do not sell truth. We're warned about thieves and robbers who snuck in. We're warned by Peter about false prophets who've come in, who are trying to sell us plastic truth. And Jesus says, what you need to do is come by me. Don't listen to them. Come in by me. And what he says in verse 9 is, when you do come in, you will find salvation. That's what's awaiting us. Look at verse 9 again. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will come in and go out and find pasture. Right? So, remember, we're talking about the ones that come in by him, not the ones that have snuck over the back fence. So when we're playing by the Lord's rules, he says what awaits us is salvation. Now, let's talk about that for a minute, because a lot of times we get hung up in the church. When we say salvation, we automatically think of heaven, right? And that's true. Part of salvation is that ultimately we will wind up in heaven and have eternal life. Verse 27 and 28 remind us of that. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So, that's one of the exciting benefits of knowing the Lord, is that one day we will be in heaven. But I want you to consider that word eternal, as in eternal life. Eternal means no ending or beginning. Now, when you think of your life, you can imagine it on a timeline, and you got on one end, you got your definite birth. And on the other end, hopefully many years from now, you have your definite ending, right? So the idea of eternal life is you take both of those stops and you kick them out of the way. So there's now no beginning and no ending, which sounds weird, except that we've entered into Christ. Christ is outside of time. God is eternal. He's lived all our tomorrows and he's walked through all of our yesterdays. And so there's no end or beginning with him. When we come into him, eternity begins for us, which is kind of funny to say anyway, because eternity can't begin. There's no beginning. But for us, when we walk into that pen for the first time, through the gate, through Jesus, eternal life has begun. Not when we get to heaven, that moment here on the earth. Now that's good news for us, because we could use what Jesus describes in verse 10. I've come that they might have life and have it in abundance. Abundant life. Sometimes it's translated life to the fullest. But the Greek word there is parazon, and it literally means life that is more than necessary. And that phrase caught my attention this week. More than necessary. How many of you have experienced God's grace and it was more than you deserved? It was more than necessary. How many of you thought this week, Lord, thank you for the rain, but it's more than necessary? Life with our shepherd is not subsistent existence. It's abundant. It's more than necessary. He goes over the top when he showers his blessings on us. Jesus does not want scrawny, sickly, depressed, angry, combative, timid sheep. He wants happy, healthy sheep. We walked today, we were coming into church today out at Robeson Ranch, and my wife and I, we saw this horse. And it was the scrawniest, saddest looking thing I've ever seen. And I got a picture of some of us in the church. But that's not what God wants for us. That's why he says, if you come to me, if you will come through me into the life that I offer, you will have life and it'll be more than necessary. You're not going to have to scratch by. You're not going to have to eke by. You can have life that is full of freedom. I want you to see what he offers us in verse 9. He says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will come in and go out and find pasture. The freedom that God offers us to go in and out and find pasture, that's everything a sheep needs. Doesn't need anything more than that. In, out, pasture is what we get. And I was reminded this week that, and we need to be reminded this week, this is God's world. It's not the devil's world. God owns this world. Now, the enemy's vying for it, but this is God's world. And so we need to remember that it doesn't belong to the enemy so that you and I can go out and come in and find pasture and go out and make a living and go out and minister to the people around us and go out and be involved in our community, go out and be involved in the workplace and our schools and all of those things and be confident that we are in God's will, that we are his sheep. And the good shepherd is watching over us. And the good shepherd is taking care of us. And we can find freedom and happiness. And I'm not talking about the world's version of freedom and happiness. I'm talking about the freedom that comes from knowing the truth and serving the Lord, motivated by love. The happiness of knowing that the God of the universe is smiling over us as we go out in ministry and care for those we love. We can live free of sin and entanglements. We don't have to watch our marriages fall apart. We don't have to watch our kids listen to the voice of false shepherds lead them astray. We don't have to earn our way into the shepherd's good graces. We don't have to vie for his attention. We don't have to try to prove we're better sheep than other sheep. We don't have to do any of that. We go in, and we come back, and we find pasture under the Lord's care. Isn't that a beautiful picture? What a wonderful life that he offers us. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't remind you and me that it's a dangerous place. This is God's world, but there is an enemy at work. There are wolves, there's thieves, there are robbers. We just were warned of them. And so that's the thing that the good shepherd offers us. He offers us the freedom of the pasture, but he also offers us the safety of the pen. A place to come back, a place to be safe. And we need both in the Christian life. There are some areas in life where we need fences and we need walls because we'll harm ourselves if we ignore those things and we go and do those things that God tells us not to do. He tells us not to do those things to protect us. And so there are some rules, but at the same time, he wants us to walk in freedom and happiness. Not be legalistic, but free and safe. That's what Paul's talking about when he says in Galatians 5, for you're called to freedom, brothers, only don't use that freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Right? So it's both and. So I want to tell you my experience with the Lord. I was thinking about it this week. I got saved when I was 7 years old, and I'm older than that now. So 42 years, I have been under the care of the Good Shepherd. And this is my testimony. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And there's nothing I could want more. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not saying the Christian life's an easy life. And I'm not saying an abundant life means you get everything you want. Sometimes it's your daily bread that you've got. But the Lord's going to give you more than is necessary, because he loves you and he cares for you. And that, if we can just learn to appreciate that, it's a happy place in the sheepfold. We experienced it this week. My son got married this week, and by the end of the week, we could just, it was more than necessary. God was good to us more than was necessary, with all the friends and everybody helping, and it was just overwhelming. So it was an easy sermon to write this week. Ask me about it next week. We'll try it again. But so there's another point that I wanted to make about the Good Shepherd, and that is when the sheep come in the evening, right? They've been in the fields all day. They've been going in and going out to the fields. Now they're coming in, and they would go through this gate, which was a small gate, and one sheep at a time would go through it, and they would pass under the Good Shepherd, who would stand there at the gate, and as they came in, he would give them water, and he would inspect each one of them. And he'd look for bruises, and he would look for cuts, and he would look for injuries, he would look for limps, and he would count them and look for missing sheep. You ever wondered how the Jesus, when he's telling the parable about the man who has 100 sheep, loses one and goes to find him, how in the world are you going to count sheep on the side of a hill? He counts them when they come in, right? One at a time. It's very easy to count that way. And so that's when he knows whether one is missing or not. And if there was one missing, he'd get one of his friends. They would guard the gate. He'd head out into the dark, and he'd go find his sheep. See, that's why you want to enter by Jesus. I can just picture me walking in to the sheepfold, and Jesus' hand on my woolly head, down my woolly back, checking me out when I come in, see if I'm okay. Because there's a lot of ways to get injured out there, right? There's a lot of ways to get hurt. And part of his abundant life promise is that he gives you and me the healing that we need, so we can go tomorrow morning skipping out of the sheepfold, out into our day, excited and happy about the world we live in. Okay, I've been alluding to this, but this is the most important part of the door, and that is the protection it offers. When you shut the door, you are safe, right? So we think. But it is. You shut the door and you're safe, because one of the most important aspects of a door is that it offers protection. How many times have you watched one of those scary movies, and the girl's going to go open the door, and you're shouting at the TV screen, "Do not open the door," right? Everybody in the whole universe knows the boogeyman's behind that door except you. Don't open it, right? So when the shepherd himself serves as the door, when he places himself at the entrance of that sheepfold, he literally was risking his life. The shepherd was between the sheep and the wolves, or the sheep and the robbers, and the sheep and the big bad world out there. And it wasn't a comfortable place to sleep. You wouldn't sleep very well sitting up there, I'm sure, and especially while you're listening for sounds out into the woods. But these are his sheep. So no wolves or thieves or robbers are going to get in without a fight. Over the years, we've been asked from time to time, somebody building a house or something, to come and pray over the house. We did one just recently, as a matter of fact. And so we'll always take anointing oil. And one of the things we'll do is when we pray, we pray over the doors of the house. Because not only symbolically, but literally, those are the gateways to the house. That's where things come in and things go out. And it's like this door we're talking about today. And so I'll ask the Lord, and I will pray that God would let in whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, anything of moral excellence or anything worthy of praise. I'll say, Lord, open the doors to those things in this home. But I'll ask God to shut the doors on the works of the enemy. the enemy who comes to steal and to kill and destroy, anything that would want to come into that home and harm the folks that are in the house, the kids and the parents, and whether we're talking about physical doors, whether we're talking about internet doors, whether we're talking about mental doors or verbal doors, anything that would come in to destroy or kill or steal the joy in that home. That Jesus, we pray, that Jesus himself would lay across that threshold and protect that home. That's the image that Jesus wants us to see. When he says, I'm the door, that's what he wants you to know. And so the question then you and I have is, which side of the door are we on? Because if you've gone in that door, if you come in by me, he says, then you've got salvation and you've got abundant life and you've got all of these things I've offered. But if you haven't, you don't. And one of the things he promises, he says, you can come in and out, right? He says that's one of the things he gives us is this freedom. He says one of the things about following me is you can come in and come out. He says, but I want to lead you. I want to lead you out. And I want to lead you back in. The problem is with some of us, we're in the sheepfold. We're part of the flock. But we don't want to come back tonight because we've been out messing around. We don't want to walk under the shepherd's inspection. Right? But he wants you to know, you need to come back. You need to walk through. You need to let him touch you. Let him heal you. But he wants to protect us. He's going to lay across that door and protect you and protect those in your home. And I want to, there's one more thing I need to say. A last warning. So in John chapter 10, Jesus is talking. He's telling this. He's using this metaphor, this analogy, in response to the Pharisees. The Pharisees had just kicked out the formerly blind man from the synagogue. And so he's telling this in response to them. And so he's warning about the robbers and the thieves, namely the Pharisees. And so he's warning all of his listeners about that. And his point is that sometimes within the flock, there's trouble. You remember that old movie when I was a kid? I don't remember the name of it. But the babysitter called the cops. And she's like, I've been receiving these calls, and they tracked it. And they said, oh my gosh, the call's coming from in the house, right? I don't know what my deal is with horror movies this week, but anyway. So scary. Well, sometimes the trouble's in the house. And so Paul warned the disciples, elders, the pastors in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and men from among yourselves will rise up with deviant doctrines to lure the disciples into following them. You see the two dangers? Wolves from the outside, bad guys from the inside. And Jesus has already told us they've snuck over the wall. They didn't come in by me, but they snuck in and they're in there. And so that's why, and I want you to please listen to me if you don't hear anything else. That is why we have to be careful, even in the pen. And we have to understand that we come in only one way. By Jesus. And we have to, above all things, learn his voice. So when someone speaks with a voice that is not his, we immediately know that's not Jesus, and we run away. That's what he says sheep do. That's a stranger's voice. That's not Jesus' voice. That's not the Bible. That's plastic words. And if it's me or anybody else is standing up here with deviant doctrines and plastic words, you run to Jesus and you run away from me. Because this world is a scary place. And this is the best place to be. This is the safest place to be. And Jesus is laying across the threshold of this door when you come in. So you make sure you come in by him and learn his voice. There's one other passage in John chapter 3 where, Revelation chapter 3, where he uses the metaphor of the door. But he uses it a little different. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and have dinner with him and he with me. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. So this time the metaphor is a little different. This one is a picture. In this case, it's the door that's keeping Jesus out. In this case, it was the door of the church. Imagine Jesus being shut out of the church. But it could just as easily be the door of a nation. Jesus being shut out of a nation. Jesus being shut out of schools. Jesus being shut out of government. Jesus being shut out of my own heart. Jesus being shut out of our families. We need to open those doors. In fact, I'll switch the metaphor back up to John chapter 10. We need to make sure that Jesus is the door and we come in by him the way he wants us to come in. We enter by him and then we begin to experience that type of life that he offers us and those things that come with it, his protection and all of those things. And so I want to encourage you, if you'll stand up with me, I want to encourage you this morning just to take a moment and think about your heart. Think about where you are. Maybe it's possible that you've never come into the sheepfold. We're going to have a prayer ministry team up here in a moment. I'm going to ask you just to come down and talk to us and tell them, I've never come in the sheepfold. I want to come in. And we'll show you how you can come in by Jesus. But you got to make that decision. Remember, you got to, if you're going to go through a door, you got to make that decision. You're going to go through. Maybe some of you are sheep of his pasture, but you've been out and you've been roaming around. You've been doing your own thing and you got bruises and lacerations, injuries. And the shepherd wants you to come on in. He'll anoint you, set broken bones, heal you, so you can go out and have good pasture again. Some of you have, speaking of doors, you've got doors opening for you. You've got challenges and situations in lives, in your lives, and you just need the Lord's wisdom on that, and he wants to send you out with his blessing. So you just need to pray over those things. So just examine your heart for a moment. Ask the Lord what he's doing. Ask the Lord what decision he wants you to make. And have the courage then to do it. Father, we just thank you. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live a subsistent existence with you, but we can live in abundance. Thank you, Lord, that this is your promise to us. And so, Lord, there are some that have not yet experienced joining with your flock. And I ask God today that you would convict their hearts, bring them forward, Lord, after this service, that they would make that decision today to walk in by you. And they would experience immediately the beginning of that abundant eternal life that you promise. Lord, there are some folks that are part of your family, but they've been out. Maybe they're ashamed to come back. Maybe, Lord, they're just worried that you won't take them back. But I pray, Lord, you set aside all those fears right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you would bring those lost sheep back. You'd bring healing today. those many wounds that we get out there. We thank you that you offer this the protection of the pen, the freedom of this world that's yours. Because you want us to go in and come back and just experience the freedom and truth that you offer. So give us that opportunity, Lord. And there's some folks today that need direction. They need wisdom. You promise us in your word, if we ever lack wisdom, you'll give it without any hesitation. And so, Lord, we ask for wisdom today, dealing with situations and challenges in life. Show us how to walk those things out. We thank you that you're the good shepherd. We thank you that you would put yourself between harm and us to protect us. That you would go to the cross. That you would face death for us. We're very grateful and we love you for it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, would you come up and let us minister to you? If you're going through something, you need ministry, you need prayer, give us 10 more minutes of your time. We want to pray for you and encourage you in the Lord. Visitors, thanks so much for being here. It was great having you with us, especially on a sunny day. Wow, that was wonderful. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace as you go. Have a wonderful week.